Luke 2, verse number 7. If you've got that, say, praise the Lord. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Someone say, for everybody. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to the God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Verse 14 again, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. I want to preach to you this morning about peace on earth. Peace on earth. Amen. Help me this morning one more time. Reach out and pray. Ask the Lord to help us today. We need the Holy Ghost to step in this house. God, we're hungry. We're thirsty for you. We need you, Lord, to be here in the middle of this place today, God. Touch your word. Touch our hearts. Touch our mind. Touch our soul. Touch our spirit. We thank you. We're hungry for you. We love you. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' wonderful name. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Now, the first part of today's service was a little abnormal, but let's let the last half be more normal. What do you say? Anybody love preaching in the house this morning? Is anybody thankful today? You know that Jesus is the reason for the season. Hallelujah. We ought to give some praise and some thanks this morning, because we know what the reason for the season's about. It ain't about Frosty. It ain't about Santa Claus. It ain't about a red-nosed reindeer. It's not about the North Pole. It's not about giving gifts and thank the Lord. It ain't about fruitcake. It's about Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, Jesus. Our world will sing songs about 12 days filled with odd gifts. Somebody did a totaling of that. If those gifts were given today, that would cost about $39,000. 12 days of, wow, that's a lot of money. And the world will also sing about seeing Mama kissing Santa Claus. It'll sing about seeing Grandma getting run over by a reindeer. But the church knows why heaven and nature sings joy to the world. Isaiah 49 and 13 says, sing, O heavens, and be joyful. O earth, break forth into singing. O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Has anybody ever experienced comfort from God? Has anybody ever felt the mercy of the Lord in the middle of your misery? Oh, heavens, be joyful. Psalms 96 and verse 11. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that therein is. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice. Before the Lord, hear it, for he cometh. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. The Lord has come. Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, has come. Hallelujah. Isaiah 12 and 2 says it like this. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. What the angels told those shepherds that night is something we can live by every day. God is my salvation. The Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. Here you go. Therefore, with joy. Somebody say joy. You got to smile when you say joy. Because living for Jesus is the best life there is. With joy ye shall draw water. Hallelujah. Out of the wells of salvation. Hallelujah, Jesus. And in that day shall you say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Someone say his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Hallelujah, Jesus. Verse 5. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Whether the earth wants to recognize it or not, the earth knows it to be true. He has done excellent things. Verse 6 says, cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the long ways off from you, in the midst of thee. Chill out, Frosty, and slay you later, Santa. I don't need a caribou with the glowing red nose. I've got Jesus, the light of the world, that cometh to light every man in the world. I'm thankful today that a 700-year-old prophecy came to pass about 2,000 years ago in Isaiah 7:14. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. It seemed impossible for a virgin birth to happen. It looked like Isaiah's words fell flat and were forgotten by heaven. 700 long years have gone by. But oh, Israel is just a shadow of its former glory. But none of that stopped God from honoring his prophetic promise. Because one day, Gabriel was dispatched to find a little virgin girl named Mary in the city of Nazareth. Luke 1:28 says, and the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Verse 30, the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. Jesus means Jehovah has become salvation. The angel also would go and visit Joseph and assure him of Mary's purity and of God's promise. The angel tells Joseph in Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. All of this was done that it might be fulfilled with the prophet who said, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Someone say God with us. It's not just God with the good looking. It's not just God with the rich. It's not just God with the educated. It's God with us. It's always an interesting thing when an angel steps on the scene. Oftentimes they say, fear not. You know why? Because it scares us to death. When an angel steps on the scene, it has a way of getting your attention. And I know the song sings about a silent night, but it was anything but a silent night. When the angel appeared to the shepherds and the glory of the Lord, it began to shine round about them. Hey, the best laser light show you've ever seen doesn't have anything to the majesty of angels appearing, of heaven showing up on earth. The glory of the Lord, it shone round about them. I'm telling you, tonight they were scared out of their minds. And so the angels have to add, fear not. Fear not. I bring you good tidings of great joy. The angels come saying, we're bringing to you some good news. We're bringing to you, can I put it like this, the gospel. The gospel came to a lower class of people. It came to smelly shepherds with bad reputations. The reputation of shepherds was such that they were despised by many. In fact, shepherds, it's said that they were considered to be unreliable because they got confused when it came between thine and mine of whose sheep belonged to who. It's so much so that shepherds, this is what people thought about them. We won't even let them testify in court. But yet, the shepherds are the one the angels came to. I know the wealthy wise men traveled from a long distance to worship His Majesty Jesus Christ. But hear it today. Some of the least among the world were the first to see His glory. Hallelujah. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. I'm preaching to you this morning. The Messiah was coming for all people. Jew, Gentile, rich, poor, learned, or ignorant, liked or loathed, it didn't matter what state you found yourself in. The angel's declaration was for more than just the shepherds that day, because Jesus would echo it later. Whosoever will, let them come and drink of waters freely. Those angels instructed them that they were to get up and make haste and get to Bethlehem. Go to the city of David, because Christ the Lord has been born this night. The Savior has come to save the world. Micah 5:2 says, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judea, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Can I say it like this? The Ancient of Days became a brand new baby boy. If our greatest need would have been education, God would have sent the world a teacher. If we needed money, no doubt financial gurus would have been on the scene. Had man's need been for pleasure, we would have been sent the best entertainers that money could buy. And had man's greatest need been a better nutrition, God would have sent us a dietitian. But I am thankful today that God knew exactly what we needed. God knew that man's ultimate desperation was salvation. So God became a man so we could become like Him. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. The Savior of the world came to seek and to save the lost. So we got to get back to our text. Luke 2:11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. A Savior. Someone say, a Savior. Hosea 13:4 says, yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt. And thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. That's the God of the Old Testament. He didn't change when we got into the New Testament. Isaiah 43:11 says, I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Isaiah 44:6, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Jude 1:25, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. What I'm trying to tell you this morning is Jesus was not Jehovah Jr. making his grand entrance. Jesus was Jehovah Jireh manifesting himself in our midst. Jesus was not God the Son. He was the Son of God and the Son of Man. Jesus was the invisible God made visible. Jesus was the Holy made human. Jesus was the Creator in clay. Jesus was deity in dust. Jesus was the substance of the shadow. He was the tangibility of the type. He was the first and the last showing up in the middle. Jesus was Alpha and Omega and everything in between. And so at the close of your Bible, you can read in Revelations 1 and 8, I am Alpha and Omega. Red letter, Jesus is talking here. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and was and is to come, the Almighty. It was the Almighty that revealed himself to Abraham, that walked, hallelujah, in shoe leather among us, and we beheld his glory, the only glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Simply stated, what we have when we got Jesus is we have God with us. Hallelujah, Jesus. The angel declared, you will find the splendor of his majesty. You'll find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but he comes in a very odd way according to our carnal thinking. Philippians 2 and 5 would say, let this mind be in you, which also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The proud will never see him, but the humble can. Hear it. Christ didn't come to enjoy this world. He came so the redeemed could enjoy heaven. Hallelujah, Jesus. He didn't show up down here and say, wow, this is some awfully cool stuff you got. He showed up and said, if you'll follow me, I'll take you to a place that'll blow your mind. If you'll follow me, I'll lead you to glory. If you'll follow me, what you desire down here called gold, I'll pave the streets with the place I'm going to take you to. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Luke 2 and 13 says, suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The shepherds were completely unaware of the heavenly untold glory just beyond their senses. It was hidden from human detection, but nonetheless, it was still there. And so I ask you this morning, how much glory, how much majesty, how much good things of God are just beyond our senses. But if we could have an and suddenly moment happen in this house this morning. If we could have the presence of God step in this house this morning. Oh, not for angels to come and be in our midst, but for the Lord Jesus Christ to come walking up and down my pew, for him to come walking in through the church and to say, here I am, for us to begin to worship and feel the love of God that surpasses any love this world could ever give. We need an and suddenly this morning. Someone needs to help me this morning. We need an and suddenly of God, where we're just kind of going along doing what we're used to doing, but the Holy Ghost steps in. And the cold and indifferent catch on fire, and the Spirit of God begins to move and works and changes somebody's life. Understand, in the middle of all of this unfolding, Caesar ordered Joseph and Mary to come and to pay their taxes. Caesar was clueless. While Joseph and Mary made their journey, holding the promised child, Israel was incredulous. They didn't believe anything was going on. They camp out in a city called Bethlehem, and Bethlehem is blind. The innkeeper, hearing the knock upon their door for one more room, he was ignorant. But understand, the shepherds witnessed divine proclamation come to pass. Isaiah 9 and 6 already been read twice this morning. Let's hear it again. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. If you're looking for a reason to shout, I'm reading you some right now. His name shall be called Wonderful. Counselor. When I was down and out and depressed and didn't know what to do, the comforter, the counselor stepped in. It was a wonderful touch in the middle of my woe and my grief. He is the mighty God. Oh, I love the fact that it doesn't say a mighty God. He's not a God amongst the many. He is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. Jesus would say, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And he is the Prince of Peace. We spent a whole lot of time unpacking some of the glorious truths about these wonderful attributes and titles of who God is. And yet we would never fully plumb the depth of the magnitude each one conveys. And as time grows short this morning, it's almost 11 o'clock. I've probably been preaching a good 5 minutes already. Let's just, for this pre-Christmas Eve service, stop and consider the Prince of Peace. This word prince in the Old Testament conveys a lot different meaning perhaps than what you would first come to think, because prince would be a word we would attribute to being a son, that it signifies sonship. The next in line to the crown would be the royal prince to the king. But prince here, it does not talk about sonship. It's talking about being a captain. It's a word for a leader. It's another way of saying the ruler. It's one word you could use for Lord or master. It's the head person of a thing of rank and order. It is the one who is chief and in control. And this prophecy tells us that Jesus was going to be the Prince of Peace. He's going to be the one in control of the supply from heaven for peace that you need in your life. Romans 5 and 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace is something our world says it wants, but it's something our world has no clue of how to get. You go all the way back to the first century, and there was a writer then called Epictetus who wrote this, quote, while the emperor may give peace from war on land and sea, he is unable to give peace from passion, grief, and envy. He cannot give peace of heart, for which man yearned for more than even outward peace. How true that man understood that although a ruler could perhaps stop war or engage an enemy and be victorious and bring peace to a place, that king could never give you peace inside your heart. Caesar could not give this kind of peace. Merkel can't give this kind of peace. Macron can't give this kind of peace. Vladimir Putin cannot give this peace. President Trump or the next president cannot give this kind of peace. But Jesus can. Jesus gives a peace that's unlike anything in this world. John 14 and 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus gives a peace that is out of this world. That although I may be in this world, my peace cannot be rocked by this world, because my peace comes from outside this world. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus already told us, I give you peace. There's several studies that have shown that during the last 4,000 years of able to record this, I guess, that there's only been about 268 years worth of peace that this world has known, globally known. That comes down to about only 8% of the time this world has been at peace. Now, that is also including the 8,000 plus peace treaties that have been enacted and sadly many broken. From what I can understand, there is only currently 11 countries that are without conflict in this world. Interesting enough, in the last 300 years alone, the continent of Europe has suffered over 280 wars. Globally, there's been over 14,300 wars, with casualties totaling upwards of 3.64 billion people. It's estimated that the amount of property damage ensued in these wars would total enough that you could buy yourself a gold belt 97.2 miles wide, and circle the earth 33 feet thick. That's the amount of property damage. But I'm here to tell you that one life is worth more than all of that, and 3.64 billion lives lost. The quest by man for world peace is no nearer now than it was before, because they failed to understand that peace is more than the absence of conflict. It is better and greater than just global unity rallying for a cause. Peace on earth is not just the removal of fear. You see, when the angelic declaration of peace on earth came, it did not mean an instant cessation of all hostilities in this world, although that would come sometime in the future, and we still wait for it yet. What was far worse than wars here and there was the clashing, and far worse than clashing of cultures between this people and that people. It was the clashing of our carnality and our sin with the holiness of God. I don't think it's coincidence at all that Jerusalem, the city of God, that capital of the world, means possession of peace, habitation of peace, teaching of peace. It means the vision of peace, or the foundation of peace. And you could really say Jerusalem more like the Old Testament word for peace, shalom. Jeru-shalom. And the New Testament, the word peace is exchanged for the word erene, but let's just stick with shalom, because that's the Hebrew word many of us have heard when someone would say shalom. Are you all still with me this morning? We're on page 7. I only got 8.5. 7.5. Musicians, get ready. Shalom means completeness. It means soundness. It's a word that touches on welfare. It is a question of well-being. It is a hope for well-being. It's a way that the Hebrews, the Jews, would say hello or even goodbye, shalom. Shalom when they come into your house. Shalom when they would go out. It's similar to how we would say, how are you? It's sort of how we say, hi, are you doing well? They would say shalom to each other. For the Jew, it was a greeting of welfare, yes, but it was something more than that. It was a desire to know the condition of how someone else was. And finding out that the condition was less than it should be, it also said, I want to do whatever I can to help. Shalom could be put into this understanding. It is a word that wants things to be as they ought to be. When the angel would say peace on earth, or on earth peace, goodwill toward men, It is not that we find God coming to judge the world and to bring wrath and to bring punishment and pain. It is not the hand of God stepping on the scene to take prisoners, if you will, and to kill and to destroy. No, 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 no. When you find the announcement of the angels that night saying, peace on earth. It is the beautiful shalom that Jesus is the Prince of Shalom. Quickly, Ephesians 2 and 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's some bad news right there. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in body, in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them that are nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Jesus is the Prince of Shalom. Verse 14 said, he is our peace. It is to set things and to make them as they ought to be. All the shedding of blood, all the sacrifice, everything you would hope to try to do to earn salvation. There was things that could be done that would push back the judgment of God. Hear me, I know this might sound a little heavy for a Christmas morning, but I want to help someone connect with something today about peace on earth. That all of the blood that was shed, it wasn't enough to remove sins from your life. It was just enough to push it ahead, to give you a little place to run along. But when Jesus came, the angels were declaring that what the Father wanted to satisfy sins with, the perfect sacrifice had come. The eviction we suffered from a garden of paradise, the angels were coming to say, hey, I got good news for you. The angel that wielded the sword that kept everybody out from the presence of God, the angel has put down the sword, and Jesus has come to extend his hand. It's to put things as they ought to be. You got to catch the picture this morning. Between man and God, there was a great gulf, and there was no way we could get to him. So he came to us. Our world was messed up and confused, and no matter how many sacrifices we did, and no matter how much we try to be good, it would never do what Jesus did by being the perfect, sinless man. That Jesus came and walked in shoe leather. He was God manifest in flesh. He lived a clean and pleasing, holy life so that we could get in him, and he would get inside of us. And it does something more than just wash away your sins. Stand with me this morning. This is what it does. It says, peace on earth. It was shalom from heaven saying, I realize you got problems and issues, and you got things that sacrifice can't take care of. You got a mind that's twisted and wore out and messed up. You've been rocked by consequence and sin and by a life that's messed up and abused. You've been hurt and killed and punched and destroyed. You've suffered all kinds of things. You've been destroyed by your friends. You've been hated by your family. You are in absolute misery and pain. And although you are thankful that Jesus came, you don't understand that it was the hand of God reaching out, saying, My peace I give you. I was perfect. And I'm going to begin to restore things back into your life. I'm going to begin to clothe you again with righteousness. I'm going to help you in your thinking. I'm going to take the damaged goods that the world has caused, and things that have been cast away and forgotten, and things that people may scoff at and say it's not even important. Who cares? I'll tell you who cares. It's God who cares. He says we're working on it. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "Now the God of peace sanctify thee wholly." He's worried about every part of your mind, every part of your heart, every part of your soul, every part of your spirit. There ain't anything this world could have ever suffered you that the peace of God can't come and begin to fill in the voids, and begin to iron out the wrinkles, and begin to say, I know it's not how you wished it was, but Shalom says it's going to be how it ought to be. And when the angels begin to cry, peace on earth, goodwill, the shepherds were scared because heaven's talking. But the angels say it's not judgment. That's going to come. But I'm going to show you the way out of it. It's peace. It's goodwill. Here's the exit ramp. Go down that way. There are people in this house this morning that hell has not been nice to you. That you've suffered things from those that should have loved you the most. They have stuck a knife in you and twisted it and cut you deep. Suffering from things you never should have suffered from. And there's nothing you can do about it because you were just a kid. Maybe you'd followed a road too long and before you knew it, you were doing things you wish you never would have done. And now you just got that hanging over the top of you. But hear it today. There's supposed to be peace. Not as the world gives. I'm going to step into the middle of your mess, and I'm going to give you a peace that passes understanding. Quit waiting until it all tries to get figured out and settled. I'm telling you, there's an "and suddenly" presence of God in this house today that says, if you'll just begin to reach out, I'll reach back out to you. If you'll get up with haste and come find that babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, if you'll leave all your pain and all your hurts and all your hang-ups, and you'll come to a place and an altar and begin to pray, Jesus isn't going to validate what everybody else thinks about you. You're stinky, sloppy, unreliable shepherd. No, 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 no. He's going to say, there's peace. There's peace. There's more than just freedom from disturbance. There's things added back to your life that are missing. Can we raise our hands and begin to call upon the Lord this morning? Can we begin to cry out and hear the call of the Lord this morning? I know everything seems like it's chaos, but the Creator has come to do what no one else could ever do. To do what you can't figure out on your own. My peace I give you. My peace. My peace. The beauty of being baptized in Jesus' name and filling with the Holy Ghost is you buy or you get into the things of Jesus Christ. There was never a day that Christ doubted that God loved him. There was never a day that man struggled with identity. He knew whose he was, and he knew who he was. Oh, there's a piece of God reaching for someone in this place today. Come on, one more time. Let's raise our hands and lift our voice. There's some that need to start coming around to the front today to come to an altar and begin to reach out and let God touch you. Oh, to lift your voice, to lift your hands, and to know and understand there is a peace on this earth. Money can't do it. A better house can't do it. A better friend can't do it. But Jesus can. Jesus can.